So, anyway, I think Coins Plus has sharpened the knife pretty well over the years. We try to be fair and honest, and I think that our clientele flow, if you will, probably confirms that a little bit. Customers are very important to us. Very, very, very important to us. And it's our number one desire to be the best. And I think, you know, again, here I go a little tangential, but I'll tell you something, folks, just, and I get into some different spiritual things, and I have people that listen and that I talk to, and I can't always tell if I've blown it or made it okay, but you can say so many things to people in so many different ways. You can have positive or negative connotations. If you're talking about doing something, okay, someone can say, well, no, this or that'll go wrong, or, you know, there's fear-based. And there's other people that believe that things can happen. And if a coach sitting in the locker room before a team goes out doesn't say, we're going to win, we're going to win, we're going to win, you know, there, how are you going to win? And if you get people, I was talking to someone earlier today about this, there's people that get into a culture of, I can't, and then they can tell you all the reasons why something won't work or whatever. The problem with that is they're right. If you say you can't, guess what? You're right. And if you say you can, you're right. Think about that for a minute. I mean, seriously, if you say you can't, you're right. If you say you can, you're right. You're not, you know, I did sports and I was really athletic. And say you go out to run a track meet. And you're like, oh, this guy's going to beat me really bad, but I'm going to run anyway, and I'm going to go give it my best, versus, I know I can beat this guy. If everything clicks, I'm going to beat this guy. You're the same person, and yet you're going to have different results. And I think it's critical that we do that. My point is that we, over the years, that's the person I've tried to be. I want to be a cheerleader. I want to be a motivator for my people in my life. But it's weird how when we raise our children, they get so easily afraid of failure. You cannot fear failure. This is why God said the fear of him is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. In other words, no fear of God, no wisdom. I think what's important is that we desire wisdom. Think about it. We're a creation of the good Lord here on earth. Magnificent. You know, I understand different people have different levels of comprehension, but think about the magnificence of our conscious existence. The fact that you are even here today thinking about what you're doing. And the whole thought process is so, the fact that you can even listen to me right now is magnificent. It's not even possible. You know, this whole evolution, what is that? I mean, okay, I don't even get it, because would evolution create conscious thought? I mean, I don't understand how. So all of a sudden, you've got this soup of yuck, muck. And it's interesting, even the evolutionists, they'll have the timeline off by a hair, only a few billion years. But then they all agree that at one point, Earth was just kind of a dark soup. Well, that's what the Bible tells us. You know, that, but there was somehow water on this planet. Who knows what it looked like or what it was. And then all of a sudden, God's like, bam, let there be light. You know, who knows what that is? I think it was an accelerate. You know, they say punctuated equilibrium. They're correct. What is punctuated equilibrium? It means when they look at the non-existing missing links in evolution, suddenly, bing, there it is. Bam, there's something. How do they know? Now, they're deceived by the Great Flood, you know, the destruction of the Great Flood. All you got to do, folks, is look at the Grand Canyon. I mean, for the love of God, that thing's like, whoa. You know, I was looking at images of it the other night. Yeah, you know, a little creek, a little river carved this mother out. Yeah, that happened. You know, not. It is massive amounts. There's this deal called the Great, it's a weird name, the Great Nonconformity. All the areas on Earth that have deep canyons and heavy-duty, high-pressure water erosion, they, once it goes to a certain depth, it hits a red marble-type granite. So our Earth, and if you know much about geology, granite is everywhere. Granite's probably one of the hardest rocks. It's everywhere. Why? The outer core of the Earth is a red granite ball. We can go through that shell, and underneath, I don't know what's there. But when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, talked repetitively about bad things are down there, I'm guessing he's probably right. I've mentioned, and I'll bounce through it, I knew the head of oil exploration of Exxon North America, who said when they drill like 4 miles in the ground, they got into a cavern that was 250 to 300 feet of freshwater, rushing freshwater, with a 1,250-foot canopy in it. And they were having trouble getting some of these drill bits through, and they kept trying this and that. And they didn't know, but they realized something moved their drill bit over a lot, very far, and they had to rebit and rebit, and he swore to me, he said, there's something down there that helped us. I know. Just telling you what I've heard. I'm the messenger. Don't hold me accountable. And people are so wound up about everything going on. I'll tell you, Big Brother is alive and well. I have been trying to buy a certain vehicle, and I found one I liked that the price was good in Durham, North Carolina. So I go to buy the thing, and they're like, well, you're going to have to sign through this Maverick system. What's Maverick? Oh, Maverick is this thing where we hire, this is a car dealer, and by the way, I'm paying cash. This is a car dealer in Durham. They're like, we have to hire this company, this notary authorization company, who in turn hires another notary company in your local area, which schedules an appointment with you, comes out, wants to get your signature, notarize, and get a fingerprint. And in my case, I was sharing the purchase with someone else, so they'd have to get it back and then send it out again for this stuff. And I was talking to my wife this morning. I'm like, this is Big Brother, its finest. They want a fingerprint to buy a car? Well, it's in case of this. I said, I'm paying cash. Well, the anti-money laundering laws. I said, look, the AML laws are not subject to a bank wire. Bank wires eliminate all that. So you got a two-edged sword going here. You got, number one, Big Brother just getting way too much information. We're going overkill, okay? And number two, they're starting to just track absolutely everything you do. You can't get away with jack squat. They're tracking everything, which brings me to something that's really near and dear to my heart and has been. My number one concern is what's called EMPs, okay? So I've been intermittently studying these electromagnetic pulse bombs. An EMP, folks, can be the size of a small box. There is congressional hearings on this. I have the documents available to me in a note here from the United States government, and I have bad eyes, so I'll try to blow it up. Senate hearing 109-30 from the U.S. government printing office. You know, I don't know all this. Terrorism and the EMP threat to Homeland Security. It was a hearing before the Subcommittee on Terrorism, Technology, and Homeland Security of the Committee on the Judiciary, United States Senate, 109th Congress, first session. And it goes through this whole detail. It's got all these senators and more senators and more senators, and on it goes. And it essentially, without getting too much in depth, the entire purpose, I'm trying to see if there's, anyway, the entire purpose of this hearing is the threat, the concern of the threat of an EMP, electromagnetic pulse. There are some interesting things in the Bible, which, as you know, if you're listening to the show, I believe are serious and legitimate threats. And I believe that the Bible covers stories of massive amounts of people being wiped out on the earth. Okay, and so what is this? There's multiple things. There's mentions of a new neutron bomb. There's prophecy of all kinds of massive loss of life on the earth. And I really believe that we may be looking at this in a serious way. I mean, it's the Bible. I think it says basically like, what, one-third of mankind is going to be killed in the new or in the near future. So it's Old Testament and New. And it says, and it, you know, like, for example, Zechariah, what is it, 13:8. Says, it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left. So that's two-thirds. So it's not one-third. I mean, that's, what is that? Prophecy of mass death. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. You probably don't realize this. An EMP, electromagnetic pulse bomb, and this is what terrorists want. If you think about it, the Muslims live in medieval standards. They don't need squat. I mean, I have a friend who was a major military operator, major. And with all due respect, sorry if this offends some of you, but they defecate in the same room they sleep. Very barbaric. You know, they're like animals. They live like animals. And they think that we need to go back to that era. It's you know, in an obscure way, and it just to lay it out there, in an obscure way, the Amish tend to lean this way as well. They avoid modern technology. They avoid modern plumbing. I mean, why? You know, there are certain electronic devices that they can handle. And electricity is what we're talking about here right now. Electronics are, you know, they're the key to everything that we operate at this point in time. But they block out modern transportation and whatnot. So If you get an EMP, it is designed to take out every electronic, not just our power grids. We have so much of a threat on our power grids, it's unbelievable. And I want you to think about an EMP in a cashless society. If you have a cell phone, an EMP wipes it out. You don't even feel it. You would feel nothing. There's a number of different technologies that we've formed, like the neutron bomb. The neutron bomb peels the skin, destroys the flesh off of humans while leaving everything else intact. Imagine that. Off not just humans, of any life form. A neutron bomb devastates every life form, but leaves everything else intact. That's real. That's been created. It exists. People, they're throwing all this stuff at us about Vladimir Putin. He's going to let off a nuke and all this, folks. I've been reading and following a number of details on this war in Ukraine. I cannot tell you for sure that I buy in to the media narrative. It just doesn't make sense to me. Vladimir Putin has millions of troops. Ukraine has 175,000. And this whole thing about Putin's falling short and all this. Ukraine has biological testing laboratories highly associated with corrupt United States leadership by the names of Biden, Obama, and Clinton. Money has been flying through there into their hands. They create these little earmarks and bills for Ukraine for this or that, and the kickbacks are horrendous. There's so much corruption coming out of that country. I think Zelensky's very wealthy and rumored to be quite corrupt. He shows up on his little video presentations in a green t-shirt, okay? He doesn't dress up nice. There's only two people who would do that. Someone who's poor and ignorant and doesn't care about how they look, or someone who's trying to send an improper message, a deceptive message. Zelensky is potentially rich and corrupt, and so he tries to look like one of the people. But the people know that he's not good. The media won't cover it. So Putin, according to a lot of the resources that I've gotten into, is corrupt. And he's very corrupt. You remember why they went after Trump? Because he dared. He dared talk to Putin. All he said is, do me a favor. They lost it. They're terrified. Trump, according to a friend of mine who's been associated with the Oval Office very well, said Trump knows things and he makes statements that lets other people know that he knows things, but he doesn't say those things because he holds it over their head. So comments that he would make in public that we would think are a little obscure have very specific pointed meanings. And that's what scared the tar out of a lot of these guys. And so I don't know that we should buy the narrative we're being fed. I was reading Lou Rockwell, who's an Austrian economist and a semi, I'd say, hype, pretty libertarian guy. Libertarians believe in liberty and freedom. Thomas Jefferson would be a libertarian, but Thomas Jefferson was the second president of the United States who created the U.S. Marines, which was now the Navy, and went after the Barbary Pirates. So the concept of libertarianism being an isolationist is not good. You can't do that. How can you, in good conscience, people struggle to apply their everyday perspective on reality to a national level. If you saw someone innocent being beaten, well, I hope that you'd do something about it. Then the question is it right? Jesus showed us the Good Samaritan. You had people wishing him well. Hey, you know, sorry you're in bad shape. I wish you well. I'll pray for you. You know what I mean? The Bible story of the Good Samaritan. So what happens is, it's a parable, and I really believe everything that Jesus taught us came straight from real stories, right? And so if we look at Luke 10, let's see here. Let's see if I get lucky enough to nail this. It says, and behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall we do? Maybe this isn't it. Anyway, we'll read this. This might not be so bad. Oh, yeah, this leads into it. He said, and he said to them, he being Christ, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So you got to love God with everything you got. He gets it all. He is God. You're not paying him anything. You're showing homage to him by respecting him for the fact that you're here today, just like I said, with conscious thought. But we must also love our neighbors ourselves. And if you know, I will admit I've met people, especially in this industry, that, you know, they don't have the best hygiene, they do whatever. But let's just assume a healthy baseline. How do you take care of yourself? You meet every need of your own. If someone attacks you, what do? Do you lay there and take it, or do you protect yourself? We're supposed to love our neighbor in the same exact way. It goes on, and he said to him, this is the lawyer, he's talking to a lawyer, you know how that goes sometimes. You have answered correctly, do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, now here we go, he said to Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? So then we get the Good Samaritan story. This applies to our position in the world. Random wars over random issues are wrong and bad and wasteful. And you got to remember, war's big money. They fight wars just to get money. You know, there's a ton of corruption. That's why Liz Cheney lost her cookies on Trump, because her father, who is a board member of Halliburton, he was also capitulating in this whole situation. And it scares them. They don't want to get caught. The thing is, they might as well get caught, because they all get away with whatever anyway. But it says, Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he encountered robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Not sure what half dead is, but I promise it's not good. Half dead. Close to death. And it says, and by coincidence, a priest was going down on that road. This is a Pharisee or a Jewish priest at this time. So a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. How's that? He avoided him. A guy's laying in the street, as they say, half dead. Well, I'm going to go to the other side of the road. That is sick, okay? In my opinion, that is sick. You are called to help. You see someone broke down on the side of the road, help them. And so on. So he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite. Now, Levites are responsible for scripture. These are the finite, accurate articulators, translators of scripture. They're responsible for scripture. They're as, you know, technically accurate as it gets. says a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side too. Don't want to deal with it. I'm above that. That would never happen to me. He must have did something wrong. Isn't this the way we think? What does a good man who's been stripped and beaten look like laying in the road dying? Well, you look at him. He looks terrible. You don't even know the story, but it doesn't matter. You love people. That's what God taught us. And then we have, but a Samaritan. What's the relevance of a Samaritan? But a Samaritan was on a journey, came upon him. And when he saw him, he took compassion. So the whole thing with a Samaritan is they were not highly regarded by the Jews. Samaritans were despised. They're obviously from Samaria, but they were despised. And what's crazy about Samaritans is that they were practicing Judaism. And the Jews said, you're not the true heirs of the religion, and therefore you're worse than scum, because they said that they were blaspheming or bastardizing, if you will, the Jewish faith. But they were trying to seek God. Guess what? Who did Jesus Christ introduce himself to as the Messiah first and foremost? The Samaritan lady at the well, to the scourge of the earth. Why? Because hearts is what God looks at. We look at the outward appearance, he looks at the inside. So anyway, I'll get past that here. Let's keep rolling. So we've got a Samaritan is on a journey, which means they're probably far from where they should be. And this true story, Christ, he saw it all, came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion. Did the other two feel compassion? I don't think so. He came to him, and what did he do? He bandaged him up. He bandaged up his wounds, poured oil and wine on them, which must have some good healing techniques, and he put him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. He stopped his life, the inconvenience, and he went and he took care of him. So on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you. Then Jesus says what? Here's a trick question. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? Okay? You know the answer, but Samaritans were despised. So he made it about action and intent. He didn't go into the racial stuff, which is what we're doing now. The divisive perspective on reality. And then Jesus said, the one who showed compassion to him. The attorney, lawyer, responded and said, well, obviously the one who showed compassion to him. Jesus said to him, go and do the same. So, when you're like, who's my neighbor? Well, obviously your neighbor's anyone who needs a hand. But what Jesus is taking it to the extreme, don't worry about technical definitions. Do what's right. Treat people good. Take care of people. So here's the thing with libertarianism. I say I'm 90% libertarian. Jefferson was a liberal. I'm a Jeffersonian liberal because by today's standards, he'd be a radical right winger. They'd hate his guts because he cared about freedom and liberty, but he also knew that you have to defend the innocent. If you witness, one thing people say, well, we can't police the world. We're so messed up. We're not policing the world. We're helping people that are being violently abused innocently. It's not policing the world. Okay, say it is. Fair enough. You're doing the right thing. You're doing good. If we're a godly nation, if you have the ability, it says in the Bible, if you have the ability to provide somebody good that needs it and you fail to do it, it's a sin. We have the ability. So innocence being shelled and blown up and all that's an issue. What is behind all this, I don't know. And I've been reading some articles about it. I think I'll get into it here. What else do we got? It's cool stuff. So the EMP thing, I'll bounce back. I'll get back to this, okay? Power grid failures, okay? That's where entire grids go down. If you remember, if you've been in Spokane, it may have even been last summer and the summer before. We're getting brownouts. You know what brownouts are? I've been around the world. Third world countries get brownouts. A brownout's when they don't have enough power to operate all the electricity and they ration it or they pre-direct it so not everybody gets what they need. But what are we doing? You know, I love the product made by Mercedes, and they are no longer releasing V8 motors. I didn't realize this, but Biden passed one of his ridiculous executive orders stating that auto manufacturers had to be at 50% electric by 2023. There are a lot of fine lines in determining what's 50% electric. So now they're adding electric motors to their cars. I don't know what the exact math is. But if we're running out of electricity already, what's going to happen when they make everything electric more and more and more? You know, you're going to have more brownouts, more runouts, and then when every single thing in our name that we use is electric, what does an EMP do? An EMP doesn't just destroy the flow of power to you, it destroys the devices. That's why there's people that will literally keep around pre-1967 vehicles. Because even if an EMP hits, all you have to do is replace a solenoid and a distributor cap and you're ready to roll. But if an EMP hits, you're going to see cars packed up on the roads, shut down. You'll be lucky to get around them or get by. And they've built roads, so it's really hard to get by if you want to. You're going to see everyone's cell phones out. You're going to see everyone's power panels are out. You're going to see everything out. I think it's a real threat. Why wouldn't they? And even 9/11 has its issues. I'm confident there's a video called 911 Mysteries. I realize it's been a long time, but if you haven't watched this, please watch it. It'll give you a really good insight. It's a very professional video. You can find it on YouTube. It's old. It's from the early 2000s-ish, mid-2000, like 2005 or 4 or something, I suppose. And it starts out with, when you start it, there's a guy standing by a real scratchy TV. And then it goes from there. And then, of course, because it's so popular, number one, due to the hits that it gets, people copy it so they can use the name and get it. Number two, YouTube tries to cover it up. So make sure you watch the right 911 Mysteries to understand that even though I believe there was so much collusion involved to pull that off, that wasn't just terrorism. It came from deep in the heart of our government. They used it to cover up over 100 Fortune 500 companies minimum that were cooking the books. It worked out really well for them, but not so well for the rest of the world. And I believe that that was the collapse of Mystery Babylon, and we're on the road ever since. But that's one. If they can put that together, whoever may have been involved, they can certainly get an EMP let off. They're going to be prepared. Are you? Now, think of the cashless society, Bitcoin. Everyone wants me one of them bitcoins. Cryptocurrency. What good are they without electricity? Do you understand that? When you have any kind of paper investment, you are relying on the electric system to prove you've even got the money. So people have their 401ks and IRAs, and they're all tax deferred, tax procrastinated. You're going to pay tax. I know people now that have gotten so much into it that they're terrified to move it around. But in all honesty, it's like one click, you're gone. How do you prove you ever had it? Well, Kevin, I have a piece of paper that I printed up. Yeah, that's going to matter. One electric zap, you're gone. It's gone. And folks, do you think that's reasonable when the Bible predicts 2/3 of the world's population are going to die? This is what Bill Gates wants, population reduction. They don't know what they're doing. These high-end power leaders with all the money, they literally, I think, are like highly demonically controlled. They're dark. They're obsessed. Why would you be so obsessed with something? Now, you get Elon Musk. I think the guy's clean. He's obsessed with creating product like a good capitalist. And I know there's, you know, the old copper barons and what, that were grumpy, and the oil barons and mean and all that. But when you look at Biden, I mean, that guy is like a corpse that's been lifted up with some demonic infestation. Look at Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook's eyes. I mean, they're deep black holes. That's not a human eye. You can't see that on any other person that you know. If you were a demon and if you were Lucifer in control of the earth, where would you place your highest rank, most powerful demonic presences? Well, I'd go to Facebook. I'd go to Twitter. You know, I'd definitely be in the White House, right? They don't have to go through doors that are locked. And when Trump was there, I believe it was covered in prayer and spiritual protection. But in the current situation, the current administration is not. So anyway, we saw the brownouts in America over the last couple years. And I think it's just important. Our number is 509-444-0044. I will be honest, we are very overwhelmed. God's been good. Everyone's like, well, that should be good, but we're working a little too hard. By the way, it's super important that you know, I got to find my calendar, but we're closed April 2nd. What is it? Second, like the 5th through the 11th. We're going to actually take a breather, and we need it bad. Trust me. But if you think about the investments you have, how asset-oriented are they really? And I'm going to touch on 401ks and IRAs here real quick because I've had some questions. The crypto promoters, they state firmly and irreconcilably that cryptocurrency is somehow the fix-all for all currency situations. I've had them tell me, you go around the world, man, you can have it anywhere you want, you can access it. Really? India? You know, China, really? So can they. They just follow you around, capture you, even torture you and take it. Your electricity goes out, you're done. You can't access it anywhere. What am I getting at? Precious metals. God starts in Genesis chapter 2. I actually had a lady last night, never listened to the radio show, probably never will. Her husband had passed away and she had thousands of ounces of silver and was looking to figure out what to do as an investment. And we were talking to her about gold, and she literally said, well, gold's worthless. I'm like, how's that? Well, it's pavement in heaven. Folks, this is interesting. She's an old German lady. We grew up with this joke, which isn't that funny, and I think it's been a great deception, and it sent the wrong message to people, where this guy had gotten seriously wealthy in life, just very rich. And he had some deal going with God. Whatever, I'm butchering the joke, if it is a joke. But he, you know, he wanted to take as a gift Peter or some angel, whatever, who cares? Is that, am I doing a great job? Not. So he was given the opportunity to take whatever he wanted to have, and he had tons of gold. So he bought a brick of gold, and the joke goes that when he got to the front door of heaven and Peter answered, he said, why did you bring pavement? Okay? So the whole joke is the streets of heaven are lined in gold. So then our human mind takes it and goes, well, that means gold's junk to God. No. God made heaven out of the absolute finest materials available, period. It doesn't mean it's junk. I actually had this lady saying that to me. She liked her silver but didn't like gold, so we ended up converting a fair amount of silver. I mean, you know, like 170 pounds of silver to a little tiny box, that, you know, the size of a baseball in gold. She's an 81-year-old widow. She doesn't need to be worrying about all this. She was going to get 3 safe deposit boxes to carry everything. We were able to put in her into our small box, a little 5x5, and she's happy and she's liquid. Gold is the wealth of the rich. It's the money of the rich. Silver is more speculative. It's awesome. Don't get me wrong. But it can be volatile. It is used in a lot of industrial production processes. But gold is good stuff. The concept of, well, I like silver because I get more for my money is not the case. It's a misconception of what wealth is. I'm going to bounce here and bounce there. The 401k and IRA thing. Anyway. Nancy Pelosi, I saw this video of her, and she goes, this is interesting. It's important to listen not just to what people say, but what they don't say. She said, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, she's also demon-controlled, without a doubt, said, quote, Joe Biden is a perfect president for now. What does that mean? He's the perfect president for now. She means he's the perfect president for this global takeover that we're currently undergoing because he's a numbskull. He's brain fried and he's hardly alive. And so that they can get all this stuff done and they use him, they tweak him, they pinch him, make him do things. But according to them, he's the best we've had. And as I mentioned, I've had technical writing and technical speaking classes when I was in banking, and it's so critical when you've had that. And you get these experienced politicians. They know what they're saying and what they're not saying. Trust me. It's not an accident. They know exactly what they're saying. Speech monsters, people that can speak like power politicians, they are literally like word ninjas. They can say things and take you apart piece by piece while making you nod your head and agree. They have the ability to use words. Words are the most powerful thing we've got. Words are the reflection and in a lot of cases the creation of all man-made thoughts. Everything translates to language. Someone who can't communicate is never going to accomplish anything phenomenal. Another thing I wanted to talk about, Project Veritas. They're the company that has exposed like Planned Parenthood for selling aborted baby parts and all this. There's this huge scandal coming out. The Department of Justice got warrants to follow them and track them. They're just journalists, folks. And they even had what they call sneak and peek warrants, and they won't even announce or advise who it was that got these warrants. This James O'Keefe, he goes out and he does true investigative reporting. I mentioned on a recent show, when you have a plethora of media that rattles off the same narrative, that's not investigative reporting. It is propaganda. So this guy's out trying to do the right thing, and they're coming after him with the power of the government, abusing his rights. They were even eavesdropping on protected attorney-client privilege. And it gets a lot deeper than that. It's Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, James O'Keefe. It's amazing. But this new Big Brother thing that's everywhere is just, it's tracking us everywhere we go. I want to go over something else here real quick. So there's, I told you about the Lou Rockwell, okay? That's a website I like, the Austrian Economist. He goes, and here's what he said about Ukraine. So the narrative that's being relentlessly pounded into our minds by the Western globalist establishment goes like this. Quote, "The mad Russian leader Vladimir Putin decided to invade Ukraine to realize the dream of reinstating the Soviet era power to Russia. This narrative is completely wrong, according to him, as is virtually everything that's been said about the cause of this conflict in the mainstream media by their assorted analysts and experts. We should not be surprised by this, since this is the same media that's been feeding us with one false narrative after another. And here are just some of the overview recent examples of media lies. I want you to think about this. This is the lies, okay? We got Trump conspired with the Russians to defeat Hillary Clinton. You know, the Russia, the Trump-Russia collusion lies. They couldn't beat him. He was too good. Another lie, that COVID-19 was going to wipe out a large chunk of the world's population. Another one, Black Lives Matter, BLM. We were told, you know, George Soros funded it. But we were told that it was a peaceful movement that was concerned with racial justice when they were just a bunch of thugs. And that, here's another one, that Hunter Biden's computer drive is part of the Russian misinformation campaign. And they're coming out with so much evidence now. I think Hunter's done, but it's a distraction. Hunter's going to get destroyed. He already has been, probably. Maybe not. Maybe the left-wing media likes him. Another lie from the media, that COVID vaccines are completely safe and highly effective. And man, if you get the right information, that's a lie. Next, biological men can become women and vice versa. Good luck with that. And that COVID vaccines will keep you free from the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Another deception is that our beloved Anthony Fauci is an objective scientist whose only professional goal is the advancement of public health. He is a political operative at the maximum. He's a sold-out corrupt politician, and he's used his position to enrich himself beyond your wildest dreams. Another deception from our wonderful media, that the FDA is an agency that makes its decisions based on science. We've seen through this, science is not relevant. They'll say, follow the science. But they are the science. It's not, you know, and we have scientists and experts. Who are they? We don't know. Another lie, the Canadian truckers are racist, fascist, misogynist, insurrectionists, and terrorists. Another one, that Joe Biden is a wise, experienced politician who will steady and unify our country and restore standing in the world. So the question is this. Why would any person in their right mind believe anything that the media says? Especially when they all say it in unison. Think about this. Unison is the key to propaganda. And isn't true journalism about free speech and unbiased investigative reporting, as I said? That's what reporting is, not just spewing out the Associated Press release of the hour. Let's see here. Unison, okay. So then according to a lot of people that I'm reading, they're saying that this is the same thing with Putin's a power-hungry madman. I'm not saying that he's a good man, but there's more to the story in Ukraine. It's rather disturbing, however, that the mainstream media, which are incapable of telling the truth about anything, have once again managed to brainwash the majority of the population into swallowing their latest false narrative. To counter the gross propaganda and misinformation campaign to which we've been subjected since the start of the Ukrainian war. So we've been lied to about the Ukrainian war, just as we had about COVID and Trump. And then he goes on, he's got analysis by these two experts, this is Lou Rockwell, that predicted this coming. So in the short time I have left, 401ks and IRAs, folks, they're tax-deferred, tax-procrastinated. I know a lot of you have a big chunk in them. You can roll over. You can take that money, put it in various trustees, and hold it in metals. But with everything I just talked about with the MPs, I'm super concerned. I mean, I think we're close, folks. I've discussed the timeline when Peter says 1,000 years is a day is 1,000 years. And then in Revelations, it talks about the first angel said that the gospel's been spread. The second angel talks about the collapse of Mystery Babylon, which was the trade towers. The third one is the mark of the beast. We get into the destruction of mass population on earth and so on. Scary stuff. Metals have been money from the beginning of history. They're created, verified by God, authorized by God, etc. I believe that you need to have a substantial portion of your investment in hard assets. It's God's money from the beginning of time. When has gold not been money? When has silver not been money? It's money. It's not an investment. It's not a risk. Oh, it goes up, it goes down, Kevin, it does this. Yeah, but track it against real inflation. Look at the cost of food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs. I mean, even with us looking to hire, we're willing to pay about 80% more than we would have prior. That's real inflation. Businesses aren't responding to this. They're creating a broken class of people that cannot manage. They can't live. They cannot get by. So 401ks and IRAs, there are ways that you can self-manage it. There's a guy online that can provide documents I should probably buy if I ever remember to call him during business hours, named Larry Shepard, I think, something like that. And we have many clients that keep their metals here in our depository, and they're managing it themselves every year. We have to help them with a statement of what's there, verify that it's there, you can do it. There was a Supreme Court ruling years back stating that they can't tell you you can't have it. I just got involved in a real estate situation with my daughter, and they were, you know, weird about gold because it's untitled, unlicensed, no serial numbers in it. They just made a hassle out of it. But the bottom line with owning metals is that you own them. They're in your hand. They're yours. We are walking into hyperinflation. It's already occurred, folks. Trust me. Hyperinflation is more than alive and more than well. Why do I say that? Because the metals are going to run hard. The shortages are coming up. The mint ran out of silver again recently. We have a few thousand ounces, which no one else does. The premiums are stout. We're running out of everything. There's going to be a huge surge in metals prices coming to keep up with inflation, and it's liquid cash anywhere at any time. I've had clients, a Latvian Jew, a Vietnamese guy, and others that have said they only survived because they had gold. Paper money, paper anything kills you. You get an electronic collapse, you're done. You can pick up metals and you can go. And I highly beseech thee to get your tail in here. If you've, you know, we got people going, I was going to do it a while ago and it's too high. I've been hearing that for 30 years. Get over it. Just get hard assets, like good quality real estate, but better. It's liquid, anonymous, transportable, etc. Our number is 509-444-0044. Or you can email us too, but we're having trouble keeping up. Still looking for people. But anyway, get your money secured and hardened. I've discussed, you give us three five-star type reviews based on business experience. Call us, we'll verify and give you two silver dollars. Again, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate the loyalty and look forward to hopefully being able to help some of you out that just haven't let yourself pull the trigger, or you have a spouse that fights it. What's the problem? It's hard asset. You can fall in love with your portfolio. Don't. God bless. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend. Bye.